Inner Ideas Matter segment. This morning, we take time out, as we do every week, to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we learn about farm values, civic agriculture at the crossroads, a community project of the Mount Grace Land Conservation Trust in Athol, Massachusetts. The project focuses on the history of six farms in north central Massachusetts and culminates at the public library next Thursday, December 10th. We are joined by Kathy Stanton, senior lecturer in anthropology at Tufts University and project director of Farm Values, a project that was funded by Mass Humanities. She joins us to explore the value of examining what we think we know about the history of agriculture in the Northeast and why it is important to understand the history of individual farms. Kathy Stanton, welcome to the roundtable. Very nice to have you on the program this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
So how did this project begin for you? How does one get into such a field? Pardon the pun.
Draws on my long interest in the uses of the past in the present, which in the last few years I've been trying to connect with thinking about the food movement, the local food movement, and how we might enrich our thinking about that through a deeper understanding of its past. So this specific project, the Farm Values Project, came from my approaching Mount Grace Land Conservation Trust, which covers a 23-town service region here in north central Mass, and does a lot of farmland protection, agricultural work here. They were trying to think about how to do more regionally based, a little broader farmland protection in an area that's really defined by very strong town-by-town identities, kind of for better and worse. So I came to them saying I'd like to do something that would plug history into this, and we came up with the idea of focusing on what they've conceived as a little six-town kind of mini-region within their service region where they're trying to think about how to plan across county lines and with different planning commissions, and really just to create some micro histories for one selected farm in each town that will let us think about not just the town histories but also region and larger contexts, and really tell a broader and more complex story about food systems over time, starting from these very specific familiar places, the farms that people know about and often know the people that farm them. And this really fit with Mass Humanities' goal of really using the humanities, and in this case history, to enrich civic life and conversations.
Allow us to explore what you just said for a moment of how the micro teaches us about the macro.
That's a great question, and that's kind of what I've been trying to figure out myself through this project. I sort of had an intuition that it did, but it's like how can we bring those in some ways, the very small level, the very fine-grained kind of history, together with these huge issues of everything that food connects to, which is, you know, very, very broad. So what we did was choose a mix of farms that would let us look at different kinds of farms and different kinds of farmers. So we've got everything from a farm family that's been farming in one of these towns since before the Revolution, now nine generations of farm continuity there, to kind of back-to-the-land wave farmers in the 1980s. We've got people who come from traditional farm backgrounds who are really reinventing their farms within the more local food economy, in some cases putting much older farms back into production, really radically, in some cases rethinking their methods and even kind of what a farm even is. We've got farms, actually all of these farms at one point were dairy farms when that was how small New England farms were staying afloat. Was in the small dairy industry, and in almost every case, they've not been able to do that in recent years. This particular farm started added a slaughterhouse business on the side after World War II, and is now the largest slaughterhouse in the region. So we've got just a really wide range of very different kinds of stories that we've traced out, and you can read this on, there's a blog post about each of them on our website, which is farmvalues.net. But it really gives us a much clearer picture of the specific challenges that expanding markets have created for small-scale farms, because that's what we're talking about in this region, over a very long time, really over 200 years, And then also the very specific strategies and often really creative, inventive strategies that farmers have used to keep reinventing themselves in response to those challenges, and how that really continues right up into the present.
So there are the similarities, I assume, with the farms, with the six farms. And then there are the differences. Does the land dictate the differences?
Yes, to quite an extent. What we have here is hilltown farms. They're upland farms. We have very little prime agricultural land in this part of Massachusetts. So there's that as a similarity. It's actually an interesting question, what accounts for the differences, and some of it is in the background of the specific farmers. I think the resources that they've been able to tap, some of them are drawing on really strong family networks. Some of them have very strong existing kind of small local networks of marketing where they live. Others are pulling ideas kind of from outside the area, or from education that has come from somewhere else. So there's both similarities in terms of the resource base that they have, and differences in terms of their particular responses.
So if we were to do a study of a farm in New York or in Vermont or in Connecticut, we would probably see many similarities, and also similarities even in the land, because we are in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we would, and that's one of the driving factors that I wanted to explore with this project, was really to think about the Northeast as a region. So I actually did a study for Martin Van Buren National Historic Site in Kinderhook, New York, a few years ago now, commissioned by the National Park Service, which was trying to understand that historic site within specifically the Hudson River Valley farm economy. But it really let me think about this whole Northeast relationship to agriculture, where the big story that we've really kind of told ourselves over time is agriculture declined. You know, it wasn't really viable. It couldn't stand up to the competition from, Western New York and Midwestern farms, and now California, and now global competition, that it just was too small and kind of couldn't keep up, which is not completely wrong in its big outline, in that, agriculture hasn't been a central economic driver here for a long time. But it really misses the realities of the continuities in agriculture, and the way that farmers have adapted, stayed afloat, and produced really well, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, sometimes in ways that have intensified what they're able to do in this often marginal land, sometimes overproducing and overworking the land. But I think the big story is, we tend to think, they overworked the land, they farmed it out, it wasn't very good to begin with, and then they all left and went to Ohio. And that is just far too simple to capture the reality of the, the many threads of reinvention and adaptation that have gone on over time. And then it gets clouded throughout the whole region by this sort of glow of nostalgia that people started feeling, again, very early on. Early 19th century, people started getting nostalgic about little old northeastern farms and going and visiting them as tourists and buying framed prints where they looked very sort of charming and old-timey. And that nostalgic glow has been a really complicating factor. Farmers have sometimes used it to create a kind of secondary market through what we now call agritourism. But it has also given this impression farming is just kind of old and past and too slow to keep up. So I was really trying to use history and these specific histories as a way to push back against that and to tell a more nuanced story that doesn't just sort of follow that big kind of downward slide trajectory, and really helps us understand the challenges over time, but then also the options that farmers have today.
Are we good? I mean, you could ask this question about history in general, but specifically about agricultural history and farm history. Are we good at chronicling that?
Yes and no. I think what we're not good at is sort of stepping outside this big assumed or received narrative that it just goes very deep, and especially in this part of New England, which is a you know, in the Hudson River Valley or Connecticut River Valley, it's easier to see, yeah, agriculture still thrives here and you know, it has this long history. In North Central Mass, what you see is lots of forests with stone walls running through them, and the story that we tend to tell is farming left, you know, it declined, it couldn't make it, and so our own landscape is kind of, the way we interpret our landscape is reinforcing that. So I think what we're not good at is seeing this longer struggle and understanding that farmers really since the time of the Revolution have been asking these questions about, you know, how they can survive as markets grow larger and you know, seizing opportunities, but also struggling within the logic of economies of scale and then mechanization and industrialization and all of that. So I think we tend to see industry supplanting agriculture and then, you know, industry moving on. And the reality is that those layers are all still here. They're all still present in the landscape. And I think that's what we're not good at seeing or telling a story about.
The communities are, you're coming together, you're having an event next Thursday. Tell us about what this project ultimately will do for those communities and what you hope to accomplish on mm-hmm. Thursday.
So the subtitle of this project, this Farm Values Project, is Civic Agriculture at the Crossroads. And civic agriculture is an idea that some people have put forward to try to help us to understand that food as an area of common concern makes it a civic concern. And this is, again, where it links with Mass Humanities' mission of, you know, kind of somehow connecting the humanities with those questions of common civic concern. So what we wanted to do as a capstone to this project is to convene a conversation in our area about all of that at a time when I think a lot of us are feeling as though we're kind of approaching maybe a next horizon for the food movement. The first big flush of enthusiasm for local food has, you know, kind of really taken hold, mm-hmm. and so where do we go from here? So that's a conversation that's obviously happening in a lot of places, including our area, but again, I see history as not being at the table as much as it might be there. So so what we're going to do is have a multifaceted event that will include, at 6 o'clock we'll have a gallery opening for some really gorgeous photographs that have been commissioned by our local food co-op in partnership with Mount Grace Land Trust. We'll premiere some of the short videos we've been making as part of Farm Values, and then at 7 p.m. I'll make a brief presentation about the project, but the main event will be really kind of a community conversation around that. We've got some panelists from various areas of our local food economy, and we're going to really talk about kind of where we are and where we think we want to go next. So we're calling it Telling Our Food Story, What's Next, and keying off the idea that the stories we tell matter, and that we really need to not tell too simple a story to be able to reflect the depth of creativity and critique that has happened over time in this food world.
You're doing really cool work, and I thank you very much for sharing with us. It's all fascinating stuff. Kathy Stanton is a senior lecturer in anthropology at Tufts University and project director of Farm Values. The project was funded by Mass Humanities, and you can find out more by going to farmvalues.net. Kathy, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.